Give portions to seven, yes to eight, for you do not know what disaster may come upon the land. The Bible says to spread it out, to diversify, by the way. Risk-return ratio. With virtually all investments, as the risk goes up, so does the hopeful return. Now, what am I talking about? Well, if I take money, my $1,000, and I put it in a cookie jar, how much risk did I take? None, unless the kids find it. Right? But you usually don't lose money in the cookie jar. Zero risk, but how much interest does it pay?
Zero.
Okay. I could take a little more risk and open up one of those wonderful savings accounts, about 1.67% interest. Yay. And you can get your money anytime you want out of the bank, right? As long as the teller's working and the anytime teller's working. Neither of which are ever guaranteed. But you can get it out. It's fairly available and very little risk. It's guaranteed by the full backing of the federal government, which makes me comfortable. I could take a little more risk and I could maybe buy a mutual fund. I could take a little more risk maybe and buy a single stock. I could take a little more risk and go to Vegas. I could take a little more risk and be a day trader. I don't recommend Vegas day trading or cookie jars, but you do need to understand, when it comes to saving money, what I'm talking about is less than 5 years. When you are saving up for a couch, saving up for a car, saving up for Christmas, that's less than 5 years. When it's longer than 5 years, it's investing. Now, when you are investing longer than 5 years, there are two kinds of risk that you have to understand. Risk number one type is that you could lose the money. We all understand that one. Okay, you could put money in an investment that's bad and the money goes bye-bye. That's a kind of a risk. And you don't take much of that risk down here, but you also don't make much down here. The more you move along, you've got a chance to make more, but you are taking more risk, right? Now the problem is, when you're investing 5 years or longer, you have to make at least 6% on your money, or another kind of risk gets you. If you don't move along here far enough to get to 6%, another thing tackles you from behind called inflation. Inflation has averaged about 4.2% over the past 75 years, according to the Consumer Price Index, the CPI, the measure of inflation. Why 6%? Because if you make money, they charge us something out of Washington, D.C. called taxes. And if you pay taxes on 6%, you will net around 4.5%, somewhere in that range. So inflation and taxes will capture you and tackle you from behind if you don't move along here far enough to get at least 6% on a 5 year and longer investment. So you've got to take a little risk, or another kind of risk gets you. Well, Dave, I want a guarantee. That's why I have my 4.2% CD, my certificate of depression. See, 4.2% CD might be okay for 6 months or for 2 years. But if that's your long-term game plan, you are losing money. You got your guarantee. After inflation and taxes, your 4.2% leaves you a couple of points in the hole. So you've got to take a little bit of risk. I'm not a big risk taker. I've been broke. I don't like risk. But also don't want to tread water gradually sinking and not realize it by not making at least 6% on my money. The other thing you need to understand is a thing called liquidity. I have a very liquid portfolio. What are you buying? Water? Liquidity simply means availability. The more available the money is, the less return there is. Again, if I put it in the cookie jar, I can get it any time I want it. Correct? Correct?
Yes.
Good. But it pays zero interest. If I make it a little bit harder to get to, put it in the bank, they'll pay me 2%. If I make it a little bit harder to get to and I put it in a CD, if I take it out early, they charge me a
penalty,
right? Or I could put it into a mutual fund, or I could put it into a stock, or I could put it into something that a whole bunch of you own that is an excellent investment. But it's very hard to get money out of very, very quickly. If you need to get your money out of this real quick, it's very hard. It's not liquid. It's not available. What is that? House, exactly. Real estate's a great investment, but there's a word for real estate that sells extremely fast. Cheap. Okay? You can't get your money out of it. You have to sacrifice the thing. You get in a desperation sale. And so what you've got to learn to do with investing, which is 5 years and longer, you have to take a little bit of risk and you have to tie it up a little while in order to get above 6% so that you start making real money above taxes and inflation. And you need to really get up there around 12 or 14% and hover there throughout your life. And I'll show you how to do that. Let's look at some types of investments that we do and things we do with money. The first one is a pretty typical. We talked about that. The certificate of deposit, the certificate of depreciation. Money market accounts, money market funds are a similar situation, and they're a great place to park something like your emergency fund or parking money through the year for taxes or something like that. They have a low rate of return and low risk, but you can write checks on them and you'll get about CD rates. A certificate of deposit, though, is kind of a funny thing. I hear people, they say, Dave, I have a CD program for my investments. I'm like, well, do you not understand what a CD is? A CD is not, it's a savings account, and they gave you a certificate.
I have a savings account.
There's nothing sophisticated about this. That's all it is. It's a certificate that says you have a deposit. It is not a big hairy deal. It's a complicated, not even a really complicated savings account. Now, obviously, that's not a real one, but let me tell you, that's all it is. It's just a piece of paper. That's a real one. It says you have a savings account that if you take it out early, they're going to charge you a penalty. A certificate that says you have some money on deposit. So if someone acts like they're being sophisticated when they're doing a CD, giggle at them. Hey, my six-year-old, I mean, my kids when they're six and five can open a savings account. There's nothing sophisticated about this. It's a bank deal where you're loaning the bank your money and you're losing money. It's a lousy place to put money as a long-term, five-year-plus investment. Don't do that. Let's look at some others. Single stocks. Mark Twain said it well. October. This is one of the peculiarly dangerous months to speculate in stocks. The others are July, January, September, April, November, May, March, June, December, August, and February. Most people that play single stocks are guys. Some ladies get into this, but there's a pride thing that goes with playing single stocks, and you will lose your tail. You're out there with your golfing buddies. You're going, what'd you invest in? Oh, I bought me a little of that restaurant. I like their biscuits, you know. I got me a little of that bank, and you swing right through, you know. And everybody's talking about their investment and what they do and what their broker says. And when we do the studies, which have been published, believe it or not, in things like the Wall Street Journal, we find that the average investor buying and selling single stocks on his own account has taken an unbelievable level of risk because he's not very spread out. And he only ends up making throughout his lifetime about a 7% rate of return when the stock market is averaged in excess of 12. Yeah, your broker's helping you. Give broker and broker and broker and broker. It's a high degree of risk on this kind of an investment, but we need to understand what stock is. Stock, when you're buying a stock, you are buying a percentage of ownership in the company. Since we're picking on Mark and Paula, let's pretend that Mark and Dave open up a print shop. Okay? Mark might be a professional master printer, and we decide to go in together and we pool our money and each of us put in $100 and we go buy us a little couple of $100 copier and we get started. I go out there, I'm a salesman, I go sell all the accounts, and Mark comes back, makes the copies, and we're really good at this, and we serve the customers and we give them a good value, and we've put $100 a piece in this. We've put $200 in it. You come back and visit us 5 years later, though, we've grown the business. Now we have printing presses running everywhere. We have a staff that is going out and marketing and handling all of these printing needs, doing all of these different things. And now the business has a lot of income. And it has a lot of people that owe us money called receivables, people that we have billed that haven't yet paid us. And we have $100,000 in receivables owed to us when you come to visit us. We own a couple of $100,000 worth of equipment. Well, when we started our little business, we incorporated it and we issued stock. We issued him 50 shares and me 50 shares. Well, at the time, we had both put in $100. Our 50 shares were worth $100 a piece. Now this company, worth maybe $500,000, those same number of shares, those same little pieces of paper, that represent our ownership, halvesies in this case. He owns half, I own half. But this little stock certificate says I own half of that company that's now worth $500,000. Now my certificate, my stock, is worth $250,000 because I own half of that company, right? That's how stock works. So if you hear of a stock going from $50 a share to $70 a share, that means the person that owned that share of stock is a little minute owner in that big old company. They own 1/1,000,000th of 1% of the company, okay? And since that company is now worth more, their little piece of the action is worth more, okay? So when you buy stock in a company, you are buying ownership in that company. When stock price goes up, it's because someone somewhere thinks that company is worth more, so your little piece of the action, your little piece of ownership is worth more. Also, if our company were to make a profit, then we would take that home, wouldn't we? That would be the goal, right? We want to make a profit, Mark. We really do, okay? Now, if we made a profit, we'd split that profit up according to who owned the most shares, and we would take it home. So if you own shares in one of these big mammoth companies, Alcoa or General Electric, and that company makes a profit and they send it to the owner, the person that has that share, that profit distribution is called a dividend. It's called a dividend. So you make money on single stocks as the value of the company increases and as the company makes a profit and they distribute the profit. As the value of the company increases, the stock is worth more. As the profit happens, it comes to me called dividends. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Good. That's what a stock is. When someone says they buy stock in General Motors, that's what they did. They became a little bitty piece of an owner in General Motors because they think General Motors is going to make more later than it's making now, and their little piece of the action will then be worth more. Bonds. A bond is a debt instrument where the company owes you money. If you are the bond holder, that company owes you money. Now, let's pretend that Mark and Dave wanted to borrow some money. That probably wouldn't happen, right? But if we wanted to borrow some money, we could issue a bond. What's your name, sir?
Warner.
Warner is going to loan us some money. He gives us $10,000. We give him a piece of paper, an IOU that says, I owe you $10,000. It's called a $10,000 bond, okay? He holds that bond. Now, if he couldn't get his $10,000 from us right then because the bond didn't demand we pay it and he needed his money, he could take it over here and sell it to this gentleman, right? And that's why where you're buying and selling bonds. And this gentleman would give him his money. Now we would have to pay our payments to this guy, right? Because that's an IOU. That's what a bond is. It's where a company borrows money from someone. Now, your return on bonds comes as the interest rate fluctuates, and few individuals do well with single bond purchases. Might you guess why? If you buy one big bond versus having spread it around, you took more risk. Right. And so people buying and selling single bonds is about like buying and selling single stocks. They get caught up in the crossfire and their ego, and they don't usually end up making much money. Even if you bought them and held them, they don't pay much.